KPBS On Demand is supported by Sally Ride Science, presenting Women in Leadership, featuring panelists Ina Garten, Michelle Hanabusa, and Margot Lee Shetterly, sharing their stories and discussing ways women can lead a better future. May 23rd on campus. Tickets at sallyridescience.edu.
Hey, I'm Parker Edison, host of The Parker Edison Project, a podcast that explores Black culture as a lifestyle. In our latest episode, hip-hop icon Imani of the Far Side shares tales from his career, including how he eats on world tours.
Hey, it's Indian food everywhere. You feel me? Or I can always find some avocados and some tomatoes. I can get a bottle of a jar of peanut butter or almond butter and just get some crackers. And so I'm real simple, man.
That's up next on The P.E. Project.
Hi, I'm Bill Hoehn.
And I'm Ted Hoehn.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hoehn family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hoehn Carlsbad dealerships or hoehnmotors.com.
Okay.
It's like I'm on the show The Wired. Even though I've never seen that show.
I would
hope there's a wire because it'd be misleading.
There's not a lot of wires. There's actually not a lot of wires. And I haven't watched it either. So
okay.
I'm not like a strong...
reliable source.
I'm not, though. I'm really not, though. Give me one second.
You are now tuned to the Parker Edison Project.
Cake boys, bitch. Cake
boys. I got bit by a dog today. It's a true story. I got bit by a dog. What do you want? But I got bit in North Park. I'm pretty sure the area is North Park.
It's not North Park.
That's not North Park?
No. There's no, like, which park are you north of exactly?
That's... I didn't know that it had... I just thought it was all North Park. That's... I was off of, like, 39th and, like, Marlboro.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so if that's not North Park, what is it?
So, pretty sure North Park does not go any east of the 805.
Okay.
Definitely not almost to... No. Definitely not almost to the 15.
So, where was I if I was on 39th and Marlboro?
Normal Heights. That's like, pretty sure it's Central Normal Heights.
Where's... Okay, wait.
And then that's East Normal Heights. Southeast Normal Heights?
That's Southeast 39th and like Elkhorn Boulevard is like Southeast Normal Heights.
Yeah.
Okay, so where's real North Park at?
That's a really good question.
Okay. That's fair. You don't have to know.
But I did actually cheat and look at a map because I was wondering myself. Mm-hmm. But North Park is all over the place.
I looked at a computer too. And it said that Route 80 was a big U.S. highway, and it went from one side of California to the other, from the West Coast to the East Coast, and that El Cajon Boulevard used to be a part of it, and it was like the main east-west road out of San Diego, and that's why it's like geared to travelers. So that's why there's like the Lafayette for hotels. There's like late night card rooms. There used to be strip clubs like Tens or Lips, like adult entertainment. All of that's in that little space. And just so like 30th and like Tens.
3 minutes later.
University because it led you to the university.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, there was that. The Board of Education was a, I thought it was a university or a school, main school. Because then that's in the University Heights area. Mm-hmm. That's like there's a campus drive.
Oh!
Yeah.
It's University Heights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh!
Hey!
Yes. Okay. And then maybe that's why then in that the neighborhood of University Heights is... wait, because University... Wait, North Park doesn't go... El Cajon and... I think north of El Cajon is... that's University Heights, too. North of El Cajon.
What part of town are we in right now?
East Village is maybe, I think, what they're calling it nowadays.
East Village.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get breakfast because I haven't eaten yet. I haven't eaten. Whose restaurant is this?
This is Drew Bent's new place.
Uh-huh.
Newest place. It's inside Mod Bomb. He does Sonoran Barbecue.
Ooh.
They took over the space. I think it was like Amplified Ill Works, but the Acid Vault's still downstairs. Mm-hmm. So now they're actually serving some great food. So it's his own kitchen that runs, shares the same space.
Ooh.
Yeah. Super yums.
Can I buy you a plate since you're plugging me in with them?
Yes, I'm never gonna say no to food or free food. Even if I just ate.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can make room. Sure, no problem.
Then let's go. Let's get in here. I'm about this.
3 minutes later.
Hi.
Hey. Hey.
How's it going?
Hi. Pretty good.
How's it going?
Good. I think should we put some seats over here? We'll be a little closer to the Woodfire Oven.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
Drew, Parker Edison. Parker Edison, Drew Bent.
Hello. Pleasure to meet you. Pleasure.
Drew, where are we right now?
We are sitting in East Village at a co-branded space called Mod Bomb and Popolo. Mod Bomb is... And basically an art space, if you will. It's the brainchild of a wonderful lady named Aubrey Miller. She started the Acid Vault.
I know Aubrey.
Yeah. She started the Acid Vault.
Tiny Nightmare.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically floated Amplified Ale Works for a while. Poets Underground, drag shows... Jazz night's my favorite night, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Really became what this place came known for.
What's Popolo mean?
It's an herb that by itself can be a little polarizing, maybe a little bit, not for everybody, but in harmony and balance, it is just beautiful. It brings a certain umami, it brings this slightly medicinal flavor that is just so wonderful and lovely. It also has papa in it. When I'm looking for a name, it was like, I was looking for something that would be easy, you know, phonetically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's Popolo.
Wait, wait. Yeah,
go ahead.
Quick tangent.
Yeah.
A, your staff just brought out the burger, the breakfast burger.
Yeah.
Drew, what the fuck, bro? What? They're so incredibly tasty. I'm angry right now. I'm sitting here with Andrew. Andrew, you got to take a bite of this. And yeah, I know.
I don't know what I ordered, but there's a lot of stuff here.
Yeah.
You ordered a few things, and a few other things came out, too.
Yeah.
There's two parts to Popolo, right?
Uh-huh.
It's phase one, which is get people hooked on our barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Give them brisket, give them ribs, give them the things that they are expecting and hoping for. Give them a burger, give them these things that just really can... get them to come back and fall in love with us and trust us, right?
Right.
From there, phase two is a whole animal program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm in talks with Perennial Pastures, whole beef, as they like to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thompson Ranch is whole pig. And so phase two of Popolo is a menu running concurrent with our current barbecue offering.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where this concept really takes flight, in my opinion. I'd like to ideally train the consumer over time to that brisket might not be available every day.
Mm-hmm.
You might show up and we might have liver and hoof and, you know, some brain.
Mm-hmm.
But you trust us enough that you know it's going to be great. And it's very good. And so the idea right now is to get everyone in with the barbecue, have them enjoy the mm-hmm. barbecue that we were working on, and then from there have the whole animal program roll out side by side with this. And over time, my theory is that the whole animal stuff will dwarf the regular barbecue menu.
Like a bait switch, but not maliciously.
Correct. It's getting people to understand that this is the more sustainable model. This is the more thoughtful way of eating meat, right? I mean,
And I've heard that you have a policy that works towards no waste.
Yes.
Is there a pizza pop-up?
Correct. We do pizza pop-up. So the team and I devised this idea of going into a zero waste model and making pizzas. We have this beautiful wood fire pizza oven here mm-hmm. that we inherited at the space. And one of my key guys is been trained by a master pizzaiolo, mm-hmm. and he makes, I think, the best Napolitana style dough anywhere. For example, we have chicken. We take chicken and we have a fried chicken sandwich, mm-hmm. and we like to portion that out nicely. But then there are these pieces that just don't make the cut because they're just either too small, or maybe it's too large. We got to cut off an ounce and a half off of the piece. Well, we don't want to throw that stuff away, but there's also, we serve lots of pickles. Mm-hmm. What do you do with the leftover pickle juice that's already, well, you can throw the chicken in there. And so you brine the chicken. That right. chicken becomes mole barbecue chicken pizza.
Right.
And so we creatively utilize, or if, like last week, one of our new guys messed up the rice. Mm-hmm. It happens, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm not just going to throw it away.
Right.
We're going to make albondigas.
Okay.
So we made albondigas pizza. So, you know, and I had some pork liver left over from the whole hog from the grand opening event. So I took the pork liver, some ground brisket, the rice, made meatballs, put that on pizza. And it was like, it tasted like albondigas soup, you know, in the sense of Mod Bomb being like a creative space for artists in a lot of ways. I'm an artist. Popolo is my business, but it's my art, right? And mm-hmm. so it's a space where a lot of art, it's kind of a hotbed for the arts in general. So it's really amazing to be here and to be doing, you know, launching my business, at least the fully realized version of the business here. Mm-hmm. So
the fast food 99-cent menu is fiscally symbiotic. Big businesses unload low quality or overstocked ingredients on lower income customers. Restaurants like Popolo are focusing more on humans instead of achieving capitalist money goals. For Drew, it's, quote, all about a journey of complex flavors. It's an art. Borderless cuisine, end quote. On the surface, Drew's just barbecuing, but low-key, he's doing society a service. Organic farm-fresh foods are a little more expensive, but healthier food causes you less health problems. Medicine costs more than food, so if you think about it, Drew's quality food might be saving us money in medical fees. See the perks of Drew's good choices? I was recently working with a photographer friend of mine. My friends tend to know a little something about everything, and I was smart enough to hit the record button during our convo. Hey, what's your name and where are we?
My name is Nico, and we're in San Diego, California. And we are at a pizza shop in Golden Hill.
Okay.
Shout out Luigi's. One of the L's.
Ew. I had to get a slice because, you know, I was powerfully hungry. And you suggested we go to a market and grab something a little healthier for you. And while we were there, you were kind of milling around. And I remembered you said this thing about sometimes you'll build anticipation or even envision a meal before you eat it. You remember
mm-hmm,
that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, can you kind of run that back for me?
Well, it's funny you say anticipation because you think a lot about when you go out to eat. Mm-hmm. Most of the food you're eating, it's not much different than what you would eat at home, but for some reason it always tastes kind of more elevated or better. And I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that, like, you're waiting for it. And you, like, you read it on the menu and you're like, oh, this is going to have, you know, roasted beets and carrots and it's going to be glazed. And so you're kind of salivating, thinking about what's to come. I think that's why everyone loves Christmas so much. You wait for it. Like, the second it's over, it's like you're already waiting for the next one. But, yeah, that anticipation builds. And, you know, what you put inside your body is an extension of how you feel about yourself. So one of the ways to reverse engineer that is by being more intentional about what you're putting in your body. Food doesn't just appear like someone grew it somewhere, somehow, by a lot of time and a lot of energy, something, a lot of different things happened for, you know, this avocado to be like sitting here in my hands, like ready to be eaten, perfect, like perfectly ripe. That doesn't just happen, and we're disconnected in the sense that, like, we don't really think about that.
Kind of sounds like what you're saying is that the diet is more than just the food.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like diet is more than just the food that we eat. It's our thoughts, our emotions, our behaviors, the people we surround ourselves with, the things that we ingest, like visually, you know, the films we watch, the books we read. All of it is in some way, it's all inside you in this like kind of weird, strange way, you know?
That's crazy. I joke with you not, I never thought about that to this minute, that I'm like, mm-hmm. if I'm scared or I'm depressed, then I don't want to eat. Mm-hmm. So my feelings are part of my diet in that way. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I'm happy, or, you know, I might eat cake. And so the way I feel fully plays a part into the diet process.
The food that we put in our bodies is for fuel. You hear that a lot. Like, it's to be broken down and processed and made into, like, ATP energy, right? And so if you're in an emotional space where you're processing a lot, then there's kind of, like, the machine is full, like the printer is jammed, like you can't, the queue is like overloaded, so you're putting food in and like most of the time you can't even digest it because you're just so wound up, and I guess that's like the best way to describe it.
Wow.
And especially if you're eating like processed foods that, you know, were synthesized in a lab. Your body's like, what the hell is this? Like, right. And where do we put it? And
right.
So it's kind of confused.
It makes total sense. It lines up to what you're saying, where you're like, the way you do one thing is the way you're going to do everything. Mm-hmm. So if you do care about what you're eating, then you do care about the way that you get your money for it. And you do care about how you sleep.
Yes.
I see the trickle down effect of it. I see.
Diet is all the ideas that we think in action. Our location, our goals, fuel, direction. It decides our territory, where we'll settle. It's so much more than what we consume at our dinner table. Perhaps we should treat it more like a vibe. Meditate on it. Make it more intentional. Take a sec. Sit with that. I'm gonna hit a quick break, and when we come back, you'll hear how a rapper eats when he's touring internationally. Hang out.
Stay tuned for more of the PEP.
In 2023, hip-hop is turning 50 years old, and there's no better way to celebrate this monumental anniversary than by playing the Questions Hip-Hop Trivia Game. Based on the acclaimed live event turned online show and podcast of the same name, the Questions Hip-Hop Trivia features 300 cards to challenge and entertain everybody from casual listeners to the most die-hard liner note reading rap nerds. The Questions Hip-Hop Trivia, available wherever you get games and books, or order yours at www.questionshiphop.com.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating, and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated for three generations, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating, and air, and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com. Because we know how.
And now back to the PEP.
Okay.
Okay, Lou. Hey, episode 5? All right, let's get into the meat. Everything's been fire up until now, but this is one of those moments. I listen to this cat's album religiously. I vividly remember running his verses while walking around American University in Washington, D.C.
President, I would not carry no spare change. I would just rearrange the whole government structure.
Yeah. If you know, you know. Rap group The Far Side has been around the world on multiple tours. In fact, I believe they just got back from a stint across the pond. I ran into them at an event out here in Southern California. Shout out my guys 60 East and Thop Fest. Appreciate you, Playboy. And they tore the stage down. And right after, this gentleman was kind enough to do an interview with me. We dig into his rap pedigree, some of his work history, and of course, how he eats.
Who are you and what do you do for a living, sir?
Who am I? I'm the son of Suzanne Wilcox, grandson of Woodrow Reed. I was born in Compton, California. I'm an adventurer. I'm a music maker. I'm a musician. I'm a magician. I love life, and I'm a grandfather and a father and a poet and a brother and a friend. My mama called me Imani. My sons call me Daddy. My lady called me Daddy. My granddaughter called me Papa. A lot of people call me Citizen Strange. Some people call me Uncle Imani. Some people call me the Phantasmagorical, the Oracle. You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
Cult leader of one. You already know. Cult leader of one.
Hey. Respect. With such an illustrious career, man, do you have a favorite piece in your catalog?
Nah, I just have different emotions that are connected to the catalog, but it can't be a favorite. But I have different emotions because I was a different person at different times when I was making music. And some of my more popular compositions is The Bizarre Ride and Lab Cabin, but there's a whole lot of like music out there, whether it's with Hieroglyphics that we didn't posse up and did music, or if it's with Tarak over here, or if it's with Blue, or it's with Fat Lip and Trey right nowadays. I mean, I don't stop making music, and I got a whole scenario over here. Weird Science, you know what I'm saying? About to drop some stuff. Weird and Strange, hitting you real soon. Keep your ear to the street so you can hear the beat.
Hey, and I got to ask this because you just mentioned Souls of Mischief. Is it true that there was going to be a Far Side Souls of Mischief combo album at some time?
Nah, we did it. I mean, we didn't actually do the whole full length, but there's singles out there.
About to go do my homework. I'm about to dig that up. And also, the Far Side, just classic material, and it doesn't always get all the credit I think it deserves in being in that same place as The Chronic or as these seminal L.A. albums. But there seems like there was a rift at one time that split L.A. right down the middle between what was happening with The Chronic and gangster rap and the movement that you were a part of, which is...
I think the rift looked like that from afar. You know how things change, situations change, the further you pull out of something, it looks one way, but when you get closer and closer and closer, we were totally intermingled. You feel me? We just not gangsters. We don't wear khakis, but them is our people. You feel me? It's L.A. You probably grew up with some gangsters, but that don't mean I gotta be gangster, but I still love my gangster homies. And we was connected to Tone Loc because of our manager. You already know Tone Loc is like from the street. So we was with Tone, you feel me? And we went on tour with Ice Cube. Like that was one of our first tours when Ice Cube was solo. And we was opening up for Ice Cube. We was all intermingling in the places where it was popping because we was all trying to be seen or trying to get heard or trying to network or trying to make it, get it, you know what I mean? Get out of our situations. We just never needed to be like gangster because we was ourselves. So we was not, you know, some people was faking the funk because it was a thing to do, but we couldn't really do that. You feel me?
I'm a huge fan of the catalog. You know, I studied these records and always wanted to know if the track Jigaboo Time was kind of a nod to Robert Townsend's Hollywood Shuffle.
Of course, that's one of the movies that helped shape where we stood in the world. Like, we felt like he was talking our language. The name of the group was almost True Jigaboo, but all of our elders were like, that's a horrible name we ought to go with. That's just what it was. It was just like, it felt like it was a big game or a big club, and you feel me? And it's like, no matter what you do to try to rise above it, you still end up being a part of it. Like, you know, like, and I'm no disrespect to nobody, like, but like X-Clan or Public Enemy or, you know, Dead Prez even. It's like, you got to get into bed with like the enemy almost to get your message out there. You feel me?
Fully.
We looked at that and was like, okay, how do we do it? They love it when you're dancing and when you're laughing, and they'll kind of like go along with you and they won't take you so serious. But if you like run back any of the subject matter of what we was talking about, I mean, that record was like groundbreaking, ahead of the game, just as far as the topics that we were dealing with.
I just caught you cats in Ontario, California, and you were all over the stage for 45 minutes straight. Maybe 4 seconds you stood still, but the rest of the 44 minutes you was active. And I wanted to talk to you about your diet.
I haven't eaten no beef in like hell along a chicken since I had my kids. My kids are like, my youngest son is 25, my oldest son is 28. I haven't had no beef and no chicken since I've been a father. I do stuff until I'm done with it. So I got it out of my system, I guess. Sometimes I don't even be eating, dog. I mean, I eat when my body be like, yo, we running low on fuel.
As someone who's literally traveling around the world, man, how do you maintain your diet? Like in these strange places that you may or not have been to before?
Hey, it's Indian food everywhere. You feel me? Or I can always find some avocados and some tomatoes. I can get a bottle of a jar of peanut butter or almond butter and just get some crackers. And so I'm real simple, man.
Got you. Did you really do the choreography for Michael Jackson in one of the videos?
No, I didn't do the choreography. What happened was I was taking my homegirl to an audition. I was like, I'm an audition too. And I made it into the video for Remember the Time. And some of the moves that they were doing was some of the moves that I did in the audition to get the position. That's how I made money before I was a rapper. I used to be in videos and dancing behind rappers and behind people. I was in like Guy video and like Bobby Brown videos and New Edition and like hella videos. And I used to dance on In Living Color. I was like the fly guys. Me and my partners, we used to dance on In Living Color because we knew Rosie Perez. So the Michael Jackson video, that was the last video that I ever did. And because I was doing demo tapes with the Bar Side at the time, and I started rapping.
Respect. Hey, where can people find you? Where do you want people to look you up?
Find me on IG, and that's where I'll be at the most. You can find me on IG, Imani, I-M-A-N-I underscore C-A-N, Imani Can.
Hey, brother, thank you. This is so major to me, man. I'm beyond a fan for what you do, B. I appreciate you so much for taking the time to do this, man, honestly.
For me, the food I eat has always been connected to my economic status at the time. Usually steak, scallops, blueberries, things like that are for special occasions. I'm getting out of that thinking. Like Nico's concept, I'm altering the reality that leads to the food I eat. Maybe if I eat more of the foods that make me happy, I'll be happier. Not the worst experiment to try. I'm gonna close this show. Well, actually, the only way I can. Let me get a call back. Hold up.
My name is Imani from the world famous, the fantastic, the phenomenal Far Side, the ghetto oracle, the phantasmagorical, and I want y'all to listen to my tune. It's called Aqua Boogie featuring my man Coltrane, produced by Computer J.
Oracle supreme, when I dream is when I feel most alive. Dive in, mind in overdrive, move like a leaf in the wind. Get away clean in the end, we get away clean in the end. We acting on laws of attraction. When the music starts, it's when the magic happens. Wish it starts to happen, bitch, it starts to happen. When you hold on to passion, lasting passion, blazing, laughing. Things will never be the way they used to be, and that's cool with me. Things will never be the same way, and I'm cool with that. Cool with that. Don't think I'm weak. Don't think I'm weak, cause I show kindness when I speak. Kinda unusual music you ain't used to. My music is dark, black, and beautiful. Say it.
Yeah.
myself in the dark, the spark dark. With both eyes closed, I still see sparks. Everything I survey has roots in the unseen. Step into the space hatch with J, I light green. Go deep as a submarine. The waters are so serene. This place is just a frequency. Just a sea.
Thanks for stopping in. Parker Edison Project is produced and hosted by yours truly, Parker Edison, and the good people at Platform Collection. Be sure to subscribe and catch the next episode on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have any comments or questions, visit the ParkerEdisonProject.com and please, please leave a review so people can see what you think of the show. My guy Chris Reyes is our head editor. Adrian Villalobos is media production specialist. Lisa Jane Morissette is director of audio programming and operations. And John Decker is senior director of content development. This programming is made possible in part by the KPBS Explore Content Fund. Hey, I love saying that because it reminds me of Sesame Street. Seriously, y'all stay safe out there.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego Art Power, welcoming the renowned Jack Quartet to San Diego for an evening of music titled Modern Medieval, with works by Caroline Shaw, Morton Feldman, and more. Monday, May 6th at The Loft at UC San Diego. Artpower.ucsd.edu.